No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus said unto his disciples, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here we have record in Matthew and record again in Luke. Who was Jesus addressing here? His disciples, his followers. That's interesting, isn't it? He was talking to his people. Just exactly how strong is your faith? Your faith. How strong is it? What is your faith in light of the direction that the United States of America is going in today? It's a good question, isn't it? The writer of Hebrews reminds the Jews of something extremely important as they struggle to realize that works was not the solution to their problem. It never was. Works never was the solution to the problems of the Jewish nation. There was a king which did right, there was a king which did evil. Right, evil, right, evil. I want to read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Lost my place here. Let me find it. I know you're all familiar with it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. An interesting thing to think about. Here the writer lists how faith, not works, how faith is really what gave Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, David, the Old Testament prophets, their ability to be the heroes so respected by the Jews. It was faith, not words. Amen? And yet, it was a work religion, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Just like it is today, what we do, how we teach, how we preach, how we go, not that at all. We realize that even Jesus' own disciples desperately needed to learn this eternal truth, and possibly a truth we need to remind ourselves of in America today. The Apostle Paul insists that the struggle that the Ephesian church was going through, that they must realize this truth. They must realize this truth. Listen to what he wrote in the second chapter of Ephesians. Excuse me. Speaking to the church, And you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. That couldn't be much plainer, could it? Turn your Bibles to chapter 9 of Mark. Is it Mark? Yeah, of Mark's Gospel. Chapter 9. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture here this morning because scripture, I think, is what we need.
Amen.
When he came, this is Jesus now, when he came to his disciples, beginning in verse 14, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question with them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh him, wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child, and oftentimes he has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, think about that. All things. My friends, all things means that anything and everything is possible if we believe. Is that right? That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. Wow. Here we find this dad whose son had this terrible affliction. We find that he was an honest man. He was a very honest man. Because verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." How true that is. How true is it of you? I believe God could have a revival sweep across America and save her from the direction in which she's going. I believe that. But Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Is that, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God can do it. We can. Unless we have what? What?
Faith.
Where are the people of God in this situation now? In America. I wonder. Are we so busy doing and working that we've forgotten to pray? That's a hard question, isn't it? I believe, but it's a real struggle sometimes to believe faithfully. Help us, Lord. We need your help. How many people here this morning agree with this preacher? God's people need to pray.
Amen.
And have faith. Have faith. Real struggle sometimes. But there it is in a nutshell, you see. Our hope is in Him, not in the Senate,
right,
not in the President, not in the Army and Navy. New Christian, old Christian faith. We don't know what God's plans are for our country. Rome, the Empire of Rome didn't know. The Empire of Persia didn't know. The Empire of Egypt didn't know. Amen? Something to think about. The only key that opens wide the door to victory against sin is faith in God. As we can see in just these few instances I read this morning, the lesson Jesus' disciples had to learn was faith opens the door to the impossible. The enemy left the boy at Jesus' command. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become one of His disciples. Amen? Should. You should be. If you aren't, you better be. And if you're not one of His disciples, I suggest you become one by confessing your need and accepting Him as your Savior. But you see, that's what it's all about. A disciple is a pupil. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a learner of a moral discipline and of spiritual truth. The born-again Christian lives a life of sanctification. If he's been born again. Did you go forward, get baptized, and never understand the principles of the new birth? Nicodemus, I know you're a preacher. Nicodemus, I know you're a leader of your people. But Nicodemus, I want you to understand something. If you have not been born of the Spirit, you can't even think about heaven, let alone enter. You'll never understand the Word of God. We've got churches full of people lost as a goose. Lord, let me tell you something. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. When things in this sin-sick world get us down, and I'm speaking now to you and me, because sometimes it really gets me down. When things in this world get us down, this father's prayer after Christ's healing of his little boy must be our prayer. We believe God, but please do help us. Please do help us. It's a lingering problem. Today we need faith more than ever as history unwinds before us. Can a great revival of God's church in America turn the tide? Of course it can. Of course it can. All things are possible to those that believe it. In the darkest days of the Hebrew faith, God delivered Abram's seed out of Egyptian bondage and into the promised land. As Europe was crippled and dying in the dark ages, God produced the Reformation that changed the world. Is God able to save our nation from this awful backsliding we are now witnessing? Certainly. As Jesus taught his followers over 2,000 years ago, all things are possible to those that believe. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God is in charge of the whole business? Boy, I tell you. In some of the darkest and most difficult days of his kingdom, the Bible records these words of King David found in Psalm 46. Psalm 46, God is our strength and refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What does that little psalm got to do with anything? Well, study the Bible. You remember what happened in 1948? Anybody remember what happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. Is Israel what it should be today? No. No. How many times did Israel turn away from God and come back? Turn away and come back. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face, pray, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. It worked for Israel. You say, well, that isn't what it means. That's exactly what it means. All things, everything, anything is possible for the one who spoke creation into existence. Be it a great revival, or be it the end of time as we know it, Christians, it is the Lord of hosts who is with his people, and he alone is our refuge and our strength.
Sure.
Do you believe God's word? Is he your God this morning? I hope so. But if you must truthfully say no, remember this. All things are possible if you only trust God. If you only believe his word.